Have you ever noticed every year around this time, Christmas rolls around? It's like the same thing every 12 months. You ever notice that? And we sing the same Christmas songs a lot. We do that, right? But I just want to pick your brain just a little bit. Do you even know what you're singing half the time when you're singing those Christmas carols? Because if you don't, you really should get into it and look at it, because some of them don't really make a lot of sense. Some of them are not even really all that biblically correct. But in Western culture, we just have this thing of adopting things that sound good and it's fun. And if it's Christmas, hey, we're going to celebrate it, right? And I'm not saying that that's sinful or bad necessarily, but like, let's just take, for example, Little Drummer Boy. Now, nowhere in Scripture do we find that there was a little drummer boy that went up to Jesus and was playing this. First of all, it would have upset Jesus very severely, because being fully human, he would not have liked that noise in his ear as an infant, more than likely. And, you know, you got the oxen and the lamb that are beaten in time. Not so sure about that. Did you get what I'm saying? You know, it's a neat song. We love it, especially if it's the King and Country version. I mean, you know, it rocks, right? There's just a lot of songs. We Three Kings, you know, again, there's no biblical context that there were just three kings. There were three gifts. So as I've said before, often around Christmas time, you got to really kind of stop and kind of think through again. It's not bad. I'm not saying that the writers were necessarily trying to do anything intentionally wrong. But just kind of make sure you know your history, your biblical history especially, because it can make an impact. Because that's what we're going to do this morning. We're actually going to touch on that Hark the Herald Angels Sing here in a second. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2 if you want to go there with your phone or your iPad or if you have anything to write on. The one that's the funniest, though, is the secular song, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Bring Us Some Figgy Pudding." What the heck is figgy pudding? Does anybody know? And the crazy thing is, and we're not going to go home until we get some. Tell your friends at your house who are not, you're not getting figgy pudding today, and kick them out the door. I mean, you know. I really do wish I knew what figgy pudding was. Somebody can look that up and tell me. All right, we're in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read it. We're going to try to dissect a few things here. We're going to skip over the first part. We're going to go to verse 6. Because that was about the decree and that David and Mary had to go because there was a census being done, and so it was decreed that they had to go to their hometown. And so while they were there, verse 6, the time came for her baby to be born. That was Jesus. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I read a pastor's commentary on that particular part of the verse, and I really thought it was clever. I thought it was very good. He just simply entitled his blog, "No Room, No Problem." Because everything that Mary and Joseph faced in their faith journey to follow the Lord in this decree that she was going to give birth to the Son of God required tremendous faith. They encountered so many odds, so many obstacles. Even the no room was not a problem for God, because God in his sovereignty and his ability, his omnipotence to select and direct all things, made a way where there was no way. And verse 8, the shepherds and the angels, this is where we kind of want to focus a little bit this morning. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. I'm going to bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, let's say this together, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. That's where that pondering comes up. Did she really know what the outcome in the future of her son was really going to be? Shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. So again, I just want to encourage you this morning. What does the Lord want to say to me this morning? What does the Lord want to say in his word to me this morning? How can I personalize what's going on in this story? First, let's just start with the hymn that we just sang, the Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's start with that first word, hark. Does anybody know what hark means? Listen. Hark. Listen. Pay attention. The writer, Charles Wesley, of this Christmas hymn took all of this directly out of chapter 2 of Luke. And he's saying, this is really important stuff. Like, you need to listen to this. What the angels did and what the angels said and the message they brought, the herald, is that they were a messenger. Hark, listen, there's a messenger bringing a message that will change your life. You need to pay attention to this. And so then we have this visitation of these with these angels, with the shepherds, and they were terrified. They were literally scared to death. How many of you have been so scared, like, you know, the bejeebers out of you? It's like, I'm done. This is over. You know, Lisa and I were driving home from a Christmas party, a leadership Christmas party years ago in this church. We were driving home from a family that hosted it. And we're just driving along. It's snowing. It's like beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You know, it's very Christmassy season. And the snow is just coming across at an angle. It wasn't blinding, but it was strong. And so it's snowing, and we're just taking our time because I had a little Honda Civic. And you just take your time in those little Honda Civics. And we're driving. All of a sudden, a doe, not a buck, a doe. But she was huge. I mean, like, she was huge. And she hits our car. And we go into the ditch, and we go into a multiple spin. And I'm telling you, I heard Lisa, and I was saying, we're done. But she said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I kept saying, we're done, done, done. Jesus may intercede, but we're still done. I mean, I thought we were goners. It was terrifying. I mean, I've never been in a car that just spun so many times. And you see, you know, like, we were in a cornfield, so we're seeing corn wrap around, wrap around, wrap around. And it's like a movie, you know, like you're in a movie. You're just, all of a sudden, you're just in a stop of time. It's like, what in the world is happening? And we are done. Miraculously, we end up in the same direction, in the same spot, headed in the right place, headed home. On the road. And I was afraid to get out and look, see if anything had happened. And I just thought, I'm going to drive it. Well, I could tell something had happened, but I drove it anyway. Because I didn't want the buck to come back and visit me. Or the doe. You know, so we have these terrifying experiences. And every time you see an angelic visitation in the Word, what does the angel say? Fear not. So imagine yourself in your home, in your living room tomorrow morning, and you're getting ready to open presents, and an angel of the Lord comes in and just says, hey, I've got good news for you today. Jesus was born on this day. This is his birthday. Let's celebrate. You're going to tell me you're just being all calm and relaxed about that? Fear not. Easy for you to say, Miss Angel. And the Bible says, the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So you got the angel that steps in, visits the shepherds, and all of a sudden, the radiance of the Lord's glory. Now, these words don't even give us a good application here. I mean, we can't even pull out of Scripture an accurate context here. So think about the strongest, the most powerful, the most beautiful, the most amazing light show you've ever seen. Has anybody ever been to the Northern Lights? Okay, so that, and magnified 100 times and put about 4 million LED lights on top of it and lasers and all this kind of stuff. And I don't even think that compares to when the radiance of the Lord's glory lit up the whole countryside. And the shepherds are supposed to relax and go, hey, just another day of work. Right? And again, I think we look at these things, and we have heard, how many of you have read the Luke 2 story to your family, your kids? You've heard it, you've read it, you've heard it preached. I mean, we've all read the Luke 2 story numerous times. We've all sung the same Christmas songs over and over again, and it gets into this mindless routine of what we do, and we don't even pick out the nuggets that actually are pretty amazing pretty impactful. I think God wants to get something to us. And that sometimes when he visits us in a setting of worship on a Sunday morning, we may not see the light show. We may not see the glow, but the radiance of his glory rests in our midst. So I don't know if it was a direct one-on-one or with it was with all the shepherds. Just for our talk this morning, briefly, let's say that the angel visited Shepherd Frank. Frank was his name. You can look it up. Frank is probably going, why me? Why me? Because if you know any history, most of you probably know this, but if you know any history about shepherds, they were the lowest class of society in Jewish culture. They were the outcasts. They were the most unskilled labor force in Jewish society. Shepherding was reserved for kids. Remember David? Just a boy in the fields. Shepherding was not an adult job. In fact, if you were a shepherd as an adult, it would be kind of considered an epic fail. You didn't do anything with your life. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've felt like an epic fail. And I think one of the things that I want to draw our attention to in this season is Christmas is extremely celebratory. Have you ever noticed that? Just lights and action and gifts and meals and exchange, and we have all this celebration. Have you ever thought about those that feel kind of like the shepherd, like life really is not good and you have no idea what's going on in my family, and in fact you have no idea what's going on in my life, and I feel purposeless, I feel no value at all. You know, December 21, shortest day of the year, darkest day of the year, the winter solstice. I think a lot of times we forget, and I remind you of this every year. You know why I remind you? Because I struggle with it. Seasonal depression is something that I've wrestled with my whole life. And when this season comes in, it's like, whoa, I got to figure out how to embrace what's right instead of what I feel. Because sometimes I just get this sluggishness. It's like, I just don't want to get out of bed. So I don't know where you are, and that's not what's important, but you need to just recognize people around you. Maybe they feel like their life is this epic failure. And we're all happy and glorious celebrating the birth of Christ. And I just want you to catch that, because this shepherd had to think, why me? Do you know who I am? You know, we've been talking about purpose and calling in our church prior to just this little segue of Christmas, and we're going to kick back in after the first year, but why me? I don't feel like I have any purpose in life. I don't have any. I mean, you know what shepherding means, right? You know what I do, right? And again, one thing we do around Christmas is we just assume everybody else is just as happy as we are. You know the song, Silent Night, Holy Night? That's another one of those Christmas hymns that we got to think through. Silent Night, Holy Night. Was it really silent? You can't tell me that the animals weren't making noise. And Jesus was fully human, so he probably had a cry fit or two when he got his diaper changed. I'm not trying to demean the deity or diminish his deity, but I'm just saying he was fully human. He had real life stuff. And I think we kind of forget that. But in that moment, was it truly a silent night? But here's the thing I think the writer was trying to do, which is why it's important for us to just change gears sometimes when we're just going through the motions of silent night, holy night, not even thinking about what's going on. You know why that happened at that moment? You know why that writer, I think, did that? Is because when God's love and his holiness stepped into earth, it silenced all the noise of earth. And I think, again, what he was trying to say, we can have peace in the midst of the greatest storms of life because of this baby right here. Because he's come to bring us hope. So we get this message. And the Bible says that suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. Now, I don't know if you know what armies of heaven are. I don't know if you know what that means, but that means there were thousands upon thousands of angels. So we got the angel visitation. Stand up, Ethan. Come on. And let's just assume that I'm the angel visiting you, the shepherd. And we're in the fields and everything's all nice and cool. And then all of a sudden this light show lights up the whole horizon. And you're going, oh my goodness. Wow. Say wow.
Wow.
Not quite as good as I did, but that's okay. And then, you know, all this stuff going, why me? Why are you picking me to get this message to? What's going on? And then it's just like out of nowhere, thousands and thousands and thousands of angels show up. And Shepherd Frank probably then said, oh, crap. Wow. Better. Thank you, Ethan. It was not an ordinary celebration. It was a baby announcement, sure. They got that part, but it wasn't ordinary. See, there's a lot of history. You need to research this on your own, but the manger itself, because the angel said this is going to be a sign to you, a baby lying in a manger and wrapped snugly, you need to go research that, because that has to do with that manger concept. Shepherds knew that the manger was the place where the lamb, the spotless lamb, would be laid and wrapped snugly for the sacrifice. So when they heard that, they were like, this is the sacrifice. This is the Lamb of God. This is not just an ordinary baby laying here. This is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Holy One. And see, the thing is the angels. Let's just catch this really quick about them. Do you know what all they had seen over the years? Actually, the Brownings did an excellent job of this Friday night when they shared their part of the devotional, the Advent, about the angels and the thinking and the anticipation, because they had had glimpses all along. There had been angelic visitations in the Old Testament. There had been prophetic words giving insight to the coming King, the coming Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One, Christ, the Son of God. And so they had this all boiled up within them. It's like they knew, man, this is coming. It's coming. And it's almost like they're like, Father, when is it happening? Father, when is it happening? Now, I don't know if that's how it all played out. But listen, prior to this, they had seen creation formed. Now, when you go back to Genesis and you look at Genesis, you read the word and all the creation story. And in Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. Remember that one, that short little phrase? Let there be light. You need to put the math together with that. You know what astronomers tell us today in terms of the stars and galaxies that are out there? That when God said, let there be light, he didn't just like put the sun and the moon and just a handful of stars. He put some. Now, according to astronomers, this is where we're at possibly in this time frame. 3 million trillion stars. That is a 3 with 24 zeros following it. 3 million trillion stars. So when God said, let there be light, it wasn't just a star and it wasn't just the moon. It was the galaxies and the stars that fill the galaxies of stars and all this kind of stuff. And again, today we have this information and it's limited because astronomers can only see so far and only detect so far. But according to right now, there is some 3 million trillion stars up there. Does that just blow your mind? Well, let me just help you think through this. Let's go to 1 million. Some of you are familiar with 1 million because you have $1 million in the bank. 1 million seconds ago was about 1 week and 4 days ago. Okay? So those of you who have $1 million in the bank, you go, oh, okay, I've got about 1 week and 4 days to spend it. 1 billion seconds was 1992. Anybody born in 1992 in the room? Yeah, you were not. Lucy Lou. 1992. A trillion seconds ago was 31,688 years ago. Are you kind of now getting the math? And so astronomers tell us there are 3 million trillion, 3 with 24 zeros past it, and that's what the angels saw when God said, let there be light. Wow! Wow. But that, and all they had seen, was not really what caught their attention. When the Father released the plan, and the Father said, here, take this to Shepherd Frank. I want him to hear the message first. So, praising him, glory to the highest, that just means he deserves the highest glory and the highest praise for this baby that has been born. Because here's what the angels also knew and know. They've been watching all of us in our humanity. They know we need a Savior. Like, Father, you're going to release the plan because they're a mess. I don't know how you see yourself, but we're all sinners. Sometimes we like to see ourselves as pretty good. You ain't pretty good. There is no pretty good in the room. There's no pretty decent, and there's no almost, there's nothing. Because the standard is perfection. That's the Father's standard, is perfection. And if you can reach perfection, okay, we're going to let you off the hook. But I know that nobody in this room can meet perfection. That's why Jesus was sent, not just to be a baby, but to raise up, become a man, and die on a cross so that he could bring mercy to you and forgive you of your sins, and you could be reconciled to the Father. That's why I got the angels' attention. That's why they said, glory to God. And can you imagine, again, thousands and thousands of angels, and they've got mountainsides and mountains surrounding them, and they're going, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest. It's just reverberating through the mountains, and Frank, Shepherd Frank, is going, oh, wow. Because again, I don't think we can wrap our minds around that moment. We read through it. Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. And our children are listening, and we're around the Christmas tree, and glory to God in the highest. Praise comes to all people on the earth. Glory to God in the highest. I'm telling you, it wasn't like that. Unlike anything you've ever... Who's been to loud concerts before? Loud rock and band concerts? Yeah, that ain't nothing. Doesn't compare. Now here's a point before I get to the final point. So once the shepherds got this, verse 2 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell. He was pleased to dwell among us. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, listen, the angels are singing. Glory to the newborn king. So it says in scripture that after that event, angels scurried on back to heaven, and the shepherds went on about their business. They went back to shepherding. Right? Does anybody remember what I just read in Luke chapter 2? What'd they do? Huh? They didn't go back to shepherding? They didn't go back to their job? Just business as usual? I mean, usually when we have an encounter with God, we just go back to doing what we normally did, right? We do, yes. That is the point of the morning. Normally, that is what we do. The scripture says they ran. They hurried. They got some hustle going and they ran and they couldn't contain themselves. And listen, here's a unique point that you may not know. A testimony in court of any shepherd was invalidated because of their place in society. So them going and witnessing to this event and saying to those around them, hey, look, you got to see what just happened. Jesus, the Messiah, the King, was born. All people around them should have said, oh, you are full of it, Frank. Go on back to shepherding. What does it say? It said that they were astonished at what they heard. You may remember in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they were brought before the council of Jewish leaders and elders and teachers of the law. And Peter and John were speaking to the people and they were confronted by these priests and they were saying, you can't preach this resurrection stuff anymore. So they formed this council to debate and decide what was going on. And in verse 13 it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men, not shepherds, but kind of like, with no special training. They also recognized them as men having been with Jesus. You see, your testimony will always be validated when people can recognize you've been with Jesus. Your testimony, your words, your actions will always be validated if you've been with Jesus. A lot of times we talk like we've been with Jesus and people can see right through us. But when you've been with Jesus, when you've had an encounter with the living God, when you have been in presence of the most holy God, people recognize it. Last point. I know everybody's getting restless. Not the kids, but the adults. So let me make one important point here. Throughout Scripture, throughout history, God's primary way, not secondary, not third, God's primary way, his first option is always to speak to people like you and me, speak to broken and flawed people just like shepherds, speak through us, use us, which is kind of this weird thing. Why us? You really know who I am, right, God? You know my past, right? You know, there's a story in the Old Testament about Balaam the prophet. And God wanted him to do something, and Balaam disobeyed. And so God sent an angel to stand in his path, but Balaam couldn't see the angel. But the donkey he was riding could see the angel. And Balaam was getting really upset because the donkey stopped. And Balaam's like, come on, man, get going. Balaam wouldn't, or the donkey wouldn't move. So he began to get angry and frustrated, so he began whipping the donkey. You can go look this up, but basically what happened is the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey spoke to his owner, Balaam, and said, Jack, quit beating me. Look it up, it's there. Why are you hitting me? Why are you beating me? Because the donkey could see the angel of the Lord, the presence of God, and he knew not to move and budge. But Balaam, who had been blinded by his disobedience, could not see it. And he's like going head on, like, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. And the angel of the Lord through the donkey is trying to stop him and protect him. You know what? Sometimes we go headlong like we know what we're doing. It's a good thing there are some angels out there that stop us from keeping going sometimes, right? So the point of this story is this. If he can use a donkey, he can use you. And the King James uses this little three-letter word. You might look that one up. If he can use that, he can use you. It's in the King James. He can use a lowly shepherd to deliver the greatest of the greatest of the greatest news. And why he chooses to use you and I don't know. But he does. You and I have been given the gospel message of forgiveness and grace. It's been handed out through the generations by an angelic visitation to a lowly shepherd and held on and contained all through those generations for people like us. When we have times together, we come together in corporate worship, that message is coming down to us again. We've got the gospel message of mercy and forgiveness. It's in us. It's Christ in us. But the question is, what are we doing with it? We're going to go back to normal life. You know, you may not consider this a light show this morning, but you have had an encounter with God. Because when we meet together in Jesus' name, He's here. So you've had an encounter. You have heard the word of truth. It's just, what are you going to do with it? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But He also said this, you are the light of the world. Ben, I'm going to have you come up and help us here. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. As we've been doing the Advent through the Christmas season, the candle of hope, the prophecy candle, prophets, angelic visitations foretelling the coming of Christ, the faith candle, the journey of faith of Mary and Joseph. You really realize and recognize what that story's about? I mean, that's a whole nother context, because what Mary had happened to her in the pregnancy was required by law to be stoned, and Joseph should have been the first one to throw the first stone. And they bypassed the religious law and trusted the faith and relationship with God to take them where they needed to go. The joy, the shepherds can't imagine the joy that would be brought to someone like you or me that got some kind of message from God that was going to change the nations. And then the peace that can pass all understanding. It may not be a silent night in your home, but it can be a calm night with the peace of God. This morning, as we close out, the white candle represents Christ. And He is the light of the world. And what I want you to do this morning, families, just kind of work this together. I know it's a little hectic sometimes to do all this, but there's these candles that we're going to use, which are very protective against hopefully burning the building down. Just make sure that the candle's in there and let Ben help you light that candle. Because this is symbolic and this is representative of you taking the light and the truth of Jesus Christ and doing something with it. He's the light of the world. But He said, you're the light of the world because I live in you. My prayer is that in 2024, there's a lot of things that we could do, a lot of projects that we could tackle. But if the one thing that we did well in 24 was to advance the kingdom by bringing people to the kingdom through Jesus Christ, them encountering a personal relationship with Jesus, them understanding that there's a difference between heaven and hell, and they are both real, but you're not going to heaven just because you're good. Because the standard is perfection, and you cannot earn your way to heaven. It's a gift from God. It's by grace you've been saved. Not anything that you can do. It's by grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. What you have to do is receive it, though. By grace you've been saved through faith. Trusting Him instead of trusting yourself. Because some of us need to stop and just ask ourselves, how's things going in my life right now? I'm not too well. Wonder why. Maybe because I'm trying to run it. Trust and faith says, Jesus, I'm going to let you run it. I'm tired of doing this. Now, there's a lot to this. And when we close out, I'm just going to simply say to you that if God has touched your heart and spoken to your heart this morning, certainly I am willing to stick around and talk to you and share with you and process that. My encouragement to you is don't just contain it and go back to doing what you've always been doing. There's a sense of urgency with the shepherds to go and share and talk about what had just happened. And that right there will change your life. So Ben, if you will help me there, I'm just going to step over and I'm just going to go back to playing "Here I Am to Worship." I would encourage you to also do the same as we close out this morning. Father, I am just praying for us to be people of light, to be people who recognize the light in us, the light of eternity, the light of hope, and that we will be people who will also be dispensers of that light. I pray all this in Jesus' name.